would we be without Jesus? Father, we love you tonight and we praise your name. And we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are in the midst of your people tonight. And Father, I pray that even right now as we hear the word of the Lord tonight, that God, you said in your word that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit. And Father, we pray, God, with whatever said in this room tonight, that God, that it'll be done by the Spirit. Not because of anything that I have done or anything that I do. Because if the Spirit is not here, it's not going to happen anyway. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to, first of all, turn to the book of Joel again, and then we're going to go to Matthew for just a few moments. Again, I want to stay in the theme of spiritual renewal, spiritual refreshing, revival, awakening, whatever terminology you want to use to describe not only what happened in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but to describe what I believe that God is wanting to do even right now. Can I tell you that I believe that God wants to pour His Spirit out more than we realize it, first of all, but in many cases more than we really even want it. The biggest thing is because it requires change. We've got to change. You say, well, what have we got to change? Well, if you'll bear with me tonight, I want to talk about one thing that's got to change. And I believe that everything else will follow this one thing. When we begin to look again at the book of Joel, however you want to pronounce it, we see something very important that took place. I read part of this morning. Again, it's found in chapter 2, and we pick up in verse number 12. When we begin to look at this scripture, he says these words, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord." And this is God talking to Israel. This is God talking to his people. And we can see that where he says, the first thing he says is to turn even to me. We've got to turn. Was that not what part of what was said last week when Brother Ball was preaching on 2 Chronicles 7 and 14? Turn from their wicked ways. But again, Joel is talking about this and he says, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Now, I'm not here tonight to say anybody's heart is evil. That's not going to be the point of the message. But I believe that God is going to do revival and God is going to pour out. But I also believe this, that God is wanting us to rend our hearts before Him. I believe a change of heart precedes revival. Are you with me? I've often heard it said, if God can find the heart, He can make up the rest with His anointing. When God began to deal with Joel here about the children of Israel, He told them in this scripture, come to me. Let me put it in today's lingo. Follow me with all your heart. Put everything you got into it. Put your whole heart into it. We hear words like, don't be half-hearted. So we see this again. He teaches in the scripture and he says, turn even to me with all of your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Then when I was reading through this, something very interesting came to my attention, where he says to rend your heart. To rend your heart and not your garments. To rend your heart and not your garments. When I began to read through this, the reason that he said to rend your heart and not your garments, and I'll just tell you in a nutshell what the commentary said without taking the time to read it in front of you. But in the Old Testament, he called them to rend their hearts. They would put on what was called sackcloth and ashes. And when they would put sackcloth on, it was an outward and a visible sign to all of those around them that they were in contrition before God. They were in repentance before God. And then they would take the ashes, if you will, and they would take the ashes and they would put them up on their head. And in this, it was again an outward and a visible sign of brokenness and barrenness. Kings did it. He did it all throughout the Old Testament. Different kings and Samuel and different ones. It talked about how that they were to rend, how that they were to put on sackcloth and they were to put on the ashes, if you will. But it was an outward and a visible sign of what was going on the inside. One of the things it talked about, the sackcloth, it was a rough cloth. Oftentimes it said that this sackcloth was made of black goat's hair. Could you imagine sitting around in black goat's hair? The commentary said that it was rough. It was uncomfortable. It was not comfortable to wear. And my friend, that's one of the things that I believe that God is saying to you and I even now, that it's time for you and I to be uncomfortable for His glory. But they were to put on the sackcloth. They were to put on the ashes. And again, when we begin to see this, it is that sign of, very simply, the commentary said that it was, sackcloth and ashes was an outward sign of one's inward condition. Such a symbol made one's heart change. It was a visible demonstration of the sincerity of one's grief or one's repentance. It was not the act of putting on the sackcloth and ashes itself that moved God to intervene, but it was the action of humility of the heart. And I already feel Him in this place. It's the action of humility of the heart. Again, we see this, and God's response to them through genuine repentance was that God showed up. When we begin to look at what Joel was actually saying here, he said, rend your heart and not your garments. There's several scriptures that I will be using throughout the evening. Excuse my throat, folks. There's several things that we look at throughout the scripture. When David found himself in a condition that he knew that his heart had waned away from God. His heart was away from God. His heart had fallen out of love with God. Again, if there's anything that I believe that God and God wants to do in the Church of America needs, is for their heart to fall in love with God once again. If we do not understand the things that we have done that has absolutely broken the heart of God, our heart will never change. David realized that David was king, but David also realized that he usurped the authority of the king. He took Bathsheba. He had Uriah the Hittite killed. But yet we see David in Psalm 51. We see David in Psalm 51 in verse number 10. Where David is crying out and David is pleading before God. And if I've ever heard God say anything to my heart, I believe this is where the church is even right now. I don't mean to be ugly. I don't mean to sound judgmental. But I believe the church has moved so far away from the heart of the Father. And I believe it's time for the church, this church, any church. But I'm here tonight, and this is what God laid up on my heart this evening. And if God can find a heart in this building, and if God can find a heart in you, and if God can find a heart in me, I believe that it will not be no problem for God to send a revival upon this land that's going to shake this city, that's going to shake this town. Amen. You may not see what I see, but I see God bringing young people, Brother Chris, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I see God crying in the wilderness as John the Baptist did. A call, a cry of repentance. I see people coming. You might as well scoot in or scoot over or move over or do something, because I believe that God is going to send into these empty places. I believe that God is going to send hungry people. And they're not going to look like us and smell like us and act like us. But my friend, I believe that they're going to be hurting. I believe they're coming, and I believe they're coming looking for what we have. I believe they're going to be coming and looking for something that's going to fill the very void that's within them. I believe that. But again, when Joel talked and when David talked, if God can find the heart, God can change the trajectory of your life. You want your life to change, give your heart to God. You want your life to change, you totally surrender your heart to God. You want your life to change, you go to God with no reservations. You hold back nothing. You hold absolutely nothing back. If God can find a church, if God can find a leader, if God can find a teacher that'll do nothing but serve Him, that has a heart for Him, I believe that God can send a renewal and a refreshing on the church. When we see David, we see what David in the condition of David's own heart. We see this in verse number 10, one of the first things that David said. David said in the word of God, create in me a clean heart. Let's say that together. Create in me a clean heart. One more time. Create in me a clean heart. And I'm not saying that anybody here has a tainted heart or a bad heart or a heart that's in sin or anything like that. But I guarantee you, I promise you that me and you or you and I, if we really looked deeper into our own hearts tonight, we've got a little bit more room that we can give God tonight. And David was saying, create in me a clean heart. Let's stand and be dismissed. I could stop right there, go home. And God's already spoke to us. I'm just preaching my heart. You may have a total different view and a total different philosophy of life right now. But if we really want renewal, Miss Julie, we got to have a clean heart and pure hands. We can't have no hidden sins. Can't have no hidden agendas. Can't have no impure motives. Our motives have got to be pure. We've got to love one another the way God said that we're to love one another. That's a whole different message for a different time. But we see here, thank you, Brother Cain, it all goes together. But we see here again, David was crying and David was pleading and David was asking God, God, cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart. If I had to push the pause button right now and take a break for just a minute, my break would simply be this, that God would give us just a few moments for every person under the sound of my voice, preacher included, to search my heart and know me, oh God, to know my heart. Again, when David said this in verse number 11, we see moving forward where David said this in the Word. David said, cast me. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David said in verse number 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Several things come to my mind when I began to see this scripture about David. When David was crying, his presence and sin cannot dwell together. They're contrary one to the other. When we begin to look at this, David went forward, and David said this in verse 17. David said, the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. In other words, as David came to God in a broken spirit, in a spirit of remorse. This is what the commentary said in the International Bible Encyclopedia. It said, a contrite heart is one in which the natural pride of self-efficiency has been completely humbled by the consciousness of guilt. Amen. It went on to say the Hebrew and the Greek words that are translated contrite, they actually mean that crushed or crippled or broken. When a contrite modifies the heart, we get the picture of a conscience that is crushed by the weight of our own guilt. I like this part right here. When a human spirit stops justifying its wrong choices, awakens to the depth of its depravity, and humbly accepts God's righteous condemnation of sin, contrition is present. A contrite heart offers no excuse and shifts no blame. It fully agrees with God about how evil it is. And I'm saying, God, change my heart. Change my heart. You say, well, preacher, you saying we've got evil hearts. Let me tell you something, friend. The Bible says that all hearts are evil. And without the sanctification of the Holy Ghost and without the redemption of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God looked upon the hearts of men in the Old Testament and they were desperately evil. They were wicked. We wonder what's going on in our world today, and we see what's going on in our world today. And my friend, it's because men's hearts have waned away from the Holy God. And if even the church today, God is calling our heart back to Him. God's calling the heart back to Him. I believe today that there's a sound of something that God wants to do. I believe that God wants to stir up the heartstrings of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this room. Again, I don't have time to break all of this down and talk about every bit of it, but it was a time in the life of Israel. Again, when God began to speak to the children of Israel, in the book of Isaiah 29 and 13, there was a time in Israel's life. They kept their sacrifices and they continued to do the things that the law required of them to do. And here's a danger point. Here's a danger point in the church today. And I'm talking to the church here. Is because if we're really going to experience a renewal, if we're really going to experience revival, if we're really going to experience God doing something in our lives, I believe we've got to be honest with God with every fiber of everything that is within us. We've got to come clean with God. Israel, when you look at the children of Israel, this is what He said to them. He said, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, but yet with their lips do honor me. In other words, their lips were saying one thing, but their actions said so much more. I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody don't want to get closer to God. It's sad for a preacher to come to the point or a pastor to come to the point when you preach your ever-loving heart out. But yet there are so many standing on the outside, as Brother Scott graciously did this morning, Brother Scott. Everybody don't want to go into the Holy of Holies. Because I thought about this. I didn't write it down, but I thought about it. Because it required a sacrifice, didn't it, Brother Scott? It required the sacrifice of a lamb and the blood, and the blood had to go in, and before the atonement it had to be sprinkled upon the doorpost. It required a sacrifice. The Bible teaches you and I in Romans 12, we're not going to turn there, but to present ourselves a living sacrifice. As sad as it is, and as much as it's a realization to me, and as hard as it is for me to say this, Everybody that even walks through the doors of this church, they're not sold out to God. They've not sold out completely unto God. They come, and I appreciate them coming. But I want to tell you, there's so much more that God wants to do in our lives today. Coming to church don't make you a Christian. Coming to church don't make you ready for heaven. Me sitting in my garage all night long don't make me a car. I can go sit in my garage all night long, but it don't make me no car. Hello? Amen. But see, we see here, the Bible said, he said, they honor me with their lips, they do honor me, but have removed their heart. If there's anything I feel like God's telling me right now, that God, if God can find the heart, every person under the sound of my voice and the many that's watching me online right now, we've got to check our heart. We've all got to check our own heart as we stand before God this evening. We see this in the Word of God, and I believe if God can find the heart this evening, I believe that God can change the trajectory of your life. But again, he says that they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Their fear of me is taught by the precept of men. Only what men say. Only what men can do. There's not a person in this room that I want to disappoint. There's not a person in this room that I want to let down. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. When I get to heaven and I stand before God, I'm not standing before you. I'm not going to give an account of you. As much as I love you and as much as I care for you and as much as I love my wife and as much as I care for her, I'm not going to stand before her. I'm going to stand before God. And when I looked at this scripture, it said, but they have removed their heart from far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Don't you know the Bible said that we'd rather obey God than obey man in the New Testament? And I believe this with all that is within us, that we've got to get to the place that we're more concerned about what God thinks about us than what man thinks about us. Now, I'm not talking about being rude, and I'm not talking about saying ugly things, and I'm not talking about disrespecting one another. I'm not talking about ignoring one another. But I'm just simply saying, if your brother don't want to go after God and you do want to get after God, I'm telling you, you need to be after God more than you need to be concerned about your brother or your sister. Every person in this room, I believe we can see this. If you go back into the book of Matthew, and this is where I believe that God led me for the evening. When you begin to see this in the book of Matthew, we can see that in the book of Matthew chapter 23, there's actually seven different woes that Jesus pronounced upon the Pharisee. The Pharisee of that day was, they were members of a party that believed in the resurrection. However, they followed the legal tradition that had been ascribed to them, and not to the Bible, but they ascribed more to the tradition of the fathers. So again, the scribes, they were like the legal experts of the day. I heard Pastor Boland say something many, many years ago. Sherry will remember this. Is you're not my Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. He shall teach you. He shall lead you into all truth. He will convict, and he will be the one to rebuke. The Holy Ghost will. And he will lead us into all truth. Now don't get mad at the preacher. It's going to get quiet on a Sunday night. I understand that. But I need to say this the right way, because I do not mean it to be harmful, and I do not mean it to be condescending, and I do not mean it to be something that should not be said. We got to be careful today. I love the Church of God. Love everything about the Church of God. I've been in the Church of God 30 plus years or more. But here's something that I believe that we've got to be really careful with. If we're not really, really careful we will be more concerned, and it's not as bad now as it was years ago, and you know that. But if we're not really, really careful today, we will be more concerned about the legalism that is put up on us through and by an organization more so than by what God wants us to do. Now, the reason that I say that is simply this. Growing up in the Church of God, I told you this morning that my granny had a PhD. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. Now, I'm just preaching my heart tonight. If we had the people back that we run off through legalism and through being mean-spirited, and you say, well, have you ever run into any mean-spirited Christians? I have run into mean-spirited people that call themselves Christians. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've had lots of opportunities as a pastor, Brother Don, to throw my hands up and spit in the eye of the person talking to me and walk away. I chose not to do that. Because greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. But here's my point of trying to get to this place. If we're really going to see what God's wanting to do in the day and the hour, and I'm not talking about fad stuff. I've been through all that. I want something real. I want something genuine. I want something that's lasting. I want to see children saved. I want to see our young people saved. I want to see people come home. I want to see the backslider, Brother West, walk in the back door of the church and get under Holy Ghost conviction and know just that they're home and that they're at the presence of God. I want the glory of God to permeate in this room, that when people walk in here, that they will know that they're in the presence of a holy God. And the reason I say that, because keeping all the rules and keeping all the regulations and not doing this and doing this and doing that and all the things that we have done all these years. And again, it's not as bad now. My friend, those things are not what it's going to take to see a move of God today. I've been through that. And I still believe in holiness. I still believe in sanctification. I still believe in doing what is right by the Bible. I don't believe in a lot of the stuff that's going on in our world today. I don't have time to get into that right now. And I'm not trying to condone sin. I'm not trying to condone anything wrong that we could say that we have to accept in our world today. No. God's not going to do that. But God is saying, if I can find the heart. And that's what my whole message is about tonight. If I can find the heart. When Jesus dealt with these Pharisees here in the book of Matthew chapter 23. I believe this is where we've got to be very, very careful today. If we're really going to see the move of God that God is wanting to do in the church today. I'm going to tell you, this is just how I feel. We cannot operate the church in a Pharisaical attitude. We've got to run the church the way that Jesus did. And I could go through a whole lot of stuff right here. But Jesus said, all men shall know that you are my disciples by your love one to another. When Jesus saw the multitude in Matthew 14 and his disciples said, send them to their villages and that we have no victuals, we have no food here. And Jesus said, they need not to depart. Let's just use what we got. Use what we got. Jesus took a few loaves of fish, a few loaves of bread, and a few fish, and he fed the 5,000 besides a multitude. Hey, little as much when God is in it. But Jesus had to teach them that they had to have a heart for him. When we begin to see this again in the book of Matthew chapter 23, this is the fifth woe that he pronounced upon them. Excuse me. And he said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Watch this. For you make clean the outside of the cup or of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. He says in verse 26, he says, "Thou blind Pharisee," he said, "cleanse first that which is within the cup of the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." What is he saying? Jesus used this in another allegory, in another analogy, in another place. Jesus said, you get the 2x4. Jesus didn't say 2x4. He said, you get the saw log out of you. He didn't say saw log. You get that beam out of your own eye. Before you ever come and get the speck of sand out of mine or the speck of dust out of mine. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just simply saying this, that Jesus rebuked the Pharisee because they did not see what he wanted to do in the heart of the people. And then they operated through and by a system of legalism that adhered even to the Levitical and the Old Testament, to the letter. And Jesus came and Jesus told them, breaking it down, he said it real simple. You work on the outside, but you really don't work on the inside. Bottom line, more than anything else, Jesus said, hey, when you clean up the inside, the outside's going to take care of itself. But he said, you can clean up the outside. You can shine up the outside. You can make pretty the outside. I remember, Brother Hunt, you're just in my vision tonight. You're just in the line of vision. But I remember when I was in Costa Rica years ago. We went to a place called San Vito, Costa Rica. And we went up through the mountains to Tres Rio. It's three rivers, Tres Rio. We went up the three rivers. That's where it was at, a community up on top of the mountain. And I remember going up through there, and to my right hand, as I was on the vehicle, in the vehicle that we was on, I seen a perfect cemetery. If I've ever seen a perfect cemetery, it was a perfect cemetery. Every crib that was above the ground had brick-laid crypts that was over top of the grave, probably two, possibly even three deep. Every grave was polished just as white as snow. Every grave. And I thought to myself, even then, Brother Sparks, I don't care how much they paint this outside, it's still a dead man's grave. It's still a stinking corpse that's dying, or it's dead, excuse me. A corpse that's decaying and deteriorating on the inside of all of that. And that's where I thought of this right here. I thought of this plain and simple. I thought how that Jesus simply was trying to tell them, and Jesus was trying to teach them, I'm not worried about your outside. I'm not worried about that. Jesus even told them, I'm not worried about your raiment. I'm not worried about that. Now, I believe in modesty. Sometimes I hate summertime simply because people don't know how to dress. Don't say amen, just leave it right there. I know it's hard to regulate a dress rule in the church, but I wish the short shorts would stay home. I don't need to see your butt cheeks hanging out. Come on, somebody. That's cute, ain't it? But you're coming to God's house. You're coming to a holy place. You're coming to a place of respect and a place of honor. And I'm not hobby horsing tonight. I promise I'm not. But my friend, I want God to see my heart. I don't want to put a stumbling block before another human being. I don't want to be a stumbling block for somebody to look at my outward appearance and look and lust. The Bible said if a man looks upon a woman with lust in his eyes, that he's already committed adultery with her in the heart. My God! Y'all may not feel what I feel, but I believe this. And I believe that God is wanting to do something in the heart. And Jesus, when we begin to see this, he said, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within. And Jody, you can come. I'm not going to go through the rest of this. I got two more pages, another whole page of stuff. I've said what I need to say. It's what God gave me for 2 days. This is what was on my heart. Get your heart right. Martha, y'all come on, get ready. Get your heart right. I've got scripture. I've got a whole other page of stuff that I'd prepared. So much. But I feel like God says stop right there. I just feel it. I don't do that often. And you know why? Because this is what the Holy Ghost just spoke to me. You've done your part, now let me do mine. God's wanting to cleanse our hearts. Again, in this text, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within, the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Can I tell you this? I believe this with everything within me. If God can find the heart, if the inside's right, the outside's going to be right. Amen. You can go to Galatians chapter 5 and you can read two things in Galatians chapter 5. You can look in Galatians chapter 5 and you can see the works of the flesh, or you can see the fruit of the Spirit. And my friend, you are manifesting one of the two of those. It's a long list. It talks about the things, it's the works of the flesh and the things that are the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and temperance and faith, long-suffering. And he says, against such there is no law. But all kinds of wickedness and adulteries and fornications and all kinds of things proceed out of the heart that's not cleansed with God. If you go and you can read all throughout the scripture. And there's this thing that God talks about. Let me just share this real fast. Because some of you are writing notes down and I want to give you the scripture. I'm not going to go through it all. Romans 8, 1 through 11. Jesus warned them against the flesh. Galatians 5, 16 through 25 identifies the work of the flesh. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 talks about the lust of the flesh. Colossians 3 and 2 tells us to set our affections on things above. Again, 1 Corinthians 1, 29 and 30 talks about this, that there's no flesh going to glory in His presence. If you want the presence of God, let God cleanse our flesh. Let God sanctify us. Let God have your heart tonight. You say, well, I gave my heart to God back in 1948. Well, hallelujah. But you need to give Him your heart in 2023 today. Amen. I want you to stand with me tonight. Let me ask you this question. If you had to stand before God tonight, how would your heart be? How would your heart be? Can I tell you a daddy story, as I call him? In 1994, my dad had his first heart attack. I was at home. Mama called me. I lived about a quarter of a mile up the road, half a mile up the road. Mama on the phone said, Alan, get down here. Your daddy's having a heart attack. I jumped in that little Toyota Starlet that I had and I buzzed down the road as quick as I could get down the road. Long story short, my dad ended up from Haywood County Hospital to Memorial Mission Hospital. My daddy was laying on a gurney. My daddy was getting ready to have open heart surgery. And Brother Scotty was laying there on that gurney. He wasn't saved. He was nowhere near saved at that time. And Betty, tears began to come out of the corner of his eyes and roll down his cheeks. And Hull, you know what he said to me? He said, boy, that old medicine they got me on is making my eyes water. I thought to myself, there ain't nothing about that medicine making your eyes water. You're scared to death and you know it. He went in, he had open heart surgery. But here's my point. There's a lot of grief associated with a heart. that's not right. I'm glad my daddy got his heart right. I'm glad he gave his life to Jesus. He's in heaven today. Friend, we're not going to heaven without our hearts being right with God. You're not going to get to heaven if you have ought against your brother. You're not going to get to heaven if you have hate against somebody. Sometimes you've got to be their bigger person. Sometimes you've got to walk up. I'm going to use Brother Russell as an example. Say, Brother Russell, forgive me. I've sinned, man. I let you down, and I'm sorry. Forgive me, buddy. I've had to go to people, and I've never went to anybody that spit on me when I went and apologized to them. Never. Sometimes you've got to be the bigger person. My little sister. Y'all know my little sister. I got mad at her, and she got mad at me over a stupid lawnmower. I didn't speak to her for almost a year. She told her husband, if you see my brother out, he's not to look at my baby, he's not to touch my baby, he's not to see my baby, he's not to be around my baby. Blake, the one that's the veterinarian. She despised me, and I don't know if I cared a whole lot about her at the time. But God told me on a Sunday night, there was two groups of people, or a group of people that had been in our church that left and went and started another church. And I despised them and I hated them because they tore my church up to go start their church. Come on now. I was so mad at them. They were young people, and long story, Julie, God said, this is the weekend, you better get it straightened out. I was miserable, preaching, but miserable. Called them up. I said, hey, I need to come by your place when we get out of service tonight. I went. You know what? They loved on me. They showed me more grace. They showed me more of the love of Jesus than I sure had ever showed them. They forgave me. I forgave them. And I still had one more thing I had to take care of. I had to go home. Didn't have cell phones. Young people, can you imagine living a life without a cell phone? We didn't have cell phones. I went up there to 117 Medford Cove Road. I went in my little single wide trailer that I had. I picked up the telephone and I called my little sister. I got on the phone with her. I said, hey, I didn't get hay out of my mouth, and she started blasting me. Like a little bee. You know how little sisters do. And I said, whoa, listen. I was wrong. I was wrong. I called to ask you for your forgiveness. And you know what she did? She said, oh, okay. All it takes is a little love, man. Give your heart to God. Hey, change your heart. Me and her got it all worked out because I had a change of heart. My change of heart led others to change their heart. I'm friends with all these people today. Hey, I had a man that treated me so horrible in Monroe. I hated his guts. I prayed death on him. Get him out of here. I sat at a gas station. This is a true story. I sat at a gas station and I told, anybody know Bill Sheeks? I told Bill Sheeks sitting at the gas station, I've got one man. If I can take him out, I think I'll be okay. That's the way I used to think as a pastor. I said, if I can take him out, I think I'll be okay. You know what Brother Sheik said? Don't touch him. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. I had to change my heart. Tula Hall died. It's Phoebe's mama. I seen Phil Pascal. That's his name. I seen him at the church. I said, Phil, I need to talk to you. We went outside after the funeral or the little visitation. I said, Phil, I need to talk to you. I said, it's no surprise to you that I've despised you. I said, it's no surprise to you that the things that's been done did not need to be done the way it was done. And I said, Phil, I about basically hated you. But I said, I want you to forgive me. I want you to forgive me. Phil said, it's going to be okay, Brother Allen. You're forgiven. It's going to be okay. I had to change my heart. Just because you're a preacher, that don't mean you don't go through things. That just means you've got to change your heart. What would it be tonight if the whole church, I mean those that don't even come back but one time a week, they get all they want on Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. But what would it be if we stood before God and we said, God, here's my heart. Everything in your life, young people, listen. Everything in your life is going to follow your heart. Everything in life, where it comes out of your heart, is the issues of life. Everything in your life is going to follow your heart. Somebody says sometimes just follow your heart. You'll be all right. If your heart's corrupt, you better be careful. I just had to throw that little nugget in there. And Father, we thank you, God, for what you've laid in our hearts tonight, God, to remind this church that we've got to have a pure heart. James reminded them and said, cleanse your heart, you sinners, purify your heart, you double-minded. God, let us not walk double-minded, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In all of his ways. And God, every person, every heart, every life, every individual that's under the sound of my voice, God, change our hearts. Change our hearts. Change my heart. Maybe you got somebody you might need to make a phone call to. Hey, you be the bigger person and say, hey, I'm calling you in repentance. I've wronged you. We've had disagreement. I want to serve God. I want my heart to be pure before God. I want my heart to be clean before God. And I'm asking you to forgive me as I have asked God to forgive me. Say, preacher, that's heavy duty. I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I'm going to say this and then we're going to sing. You can do it if you want the blessings of God on your life. More than you want to hold a grudge, hard feelings. As far as I know, conscientiously, subconsciously, I don't have ill against nobody. I don't let that happen to me anymore very often. I don't have any hard feelings to nobody. I don't have no hatred to nobody. I don't have no vindictiveness, if that's a word, against anybody. Vendetta. I don't have that against anybody. I can stand before God with a pure heart and say, here I am, Lord. Come on. Sing this with us. Change my heart, oh God. Let it be your prayer. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Listen to this part. May I be like you. Sing that part again. Change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Let it be your prayer. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. That be your prayer as you raise your hands as an act of surrender. As an act of surrender tonight. Oh, Jesus, do it, God. Grant it, Father. Grant it, Lord, in this room. Oh, God, that your glory can flow in this place. That your power can flow in this place. Oh, God, that your power would fall on us, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Yes, Lord.
May I be like you. You are the Potter.
we are.
Mold me and make me. This is what I'm made.
Let him do it, church.
Change my heart, oh God.
Paul, let him mold you tonight, church. Let him put you back on the potter's wheel. Is there anybody in the room that'll come and stand with me? I'll stand with you. And we're going to stand together. Come here, Brother Josh. Come on, buddy. Anybody else? And you're saying when you come, God, change my heart. Change my heart. God, let my heart be like you. Let my heart be like you tonight. Change me, oh God. Mold me, God. Shape me, Lord. Form me, oh God. Make me into what you want me to be. God, I don't want to just clean up the outside. But God, change my heart. Change my heart tonight, God. Father, touch Brother Josh tonight, Lord. Anybody else as we're here tonight? Anybody else want to come and say, God, here I am? You want to present yourself before God, the living sacrifice, and say, God, if you can use anything, God, you can use me. One more time, change my heart. Change my heart.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
For Natalie, I pray, God, that you touch her, God, touch her life, God, make her, mold her, shape her, God, as she grows, God, God, keep her hungry for you. Oh, God, give her a hunger, God, like she's never known for the things of God. Lord, let her know and understand at an early age, and God, that you keep evil abated from her, God, keep evil away, Father God. God, protect her heart, protect her life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is what I pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, that you touch her heart. Move in her
Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you.
Do that part again, change my heart.
Change my heart, oh God.
Is that your prayer tonight? As a sign to heaven, God, it's my prayer. Change me, Lord. Raise your hand and say, God, it's my prayer. Let me be all that you would have me to be. Mighty God, Father, look upon this congregation. Look at every hand that's raised. Touch every heart and touch every life. Father, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, I've shared with you what I believe that God put in my heart for this evening. A change of heart was a prerequisite for God to say, I will pour out my spirit. And I believe that what God is doing here right now and moving forward that are only precursors, if you will, for what God's wanting to do. Amen. I love you and I thank God for you every day. I woke up this morning at 3:04. I wanted to sleep, but all I had on my mind, I didn't even wake Sherry up. I tried to be quiet and not wiggle and move around a whole lot. But I woke up at 3:04 this morning, stayed awake for about an hour. And the whole time I was awake, I was praying for this church and praying for you. In my mind's eye, I was seeing where people sat. And I was calling out people's names in prayer. That God would do something in your life, and that God would do something in my life, and that God would do something in us. And I'm believing God for that. If you see folks that's not here today, encourage them, call them, get them on the phone. Call somebody. Tell them about what God is doing. Revisit our prayer calendar out there. Two or three people can sign up on the same day. The more the merrier. We're already signing up for March. We're in the middle of a 365-day prayer meeting. And I can tell you right now, it's working. It's working. Thank you for your prayers. Shake hands. Be friendly. We'll see everybody Wednesday night. Amen. God bless you as you go. In Jesus' name.